Dancing International Radio. Today we have an executive coach with us from Silicon Valley, Meg Dennison, and we're going to be focusing on your zone of genius. So welcome, Megan. So lovely to have you.
So I just want to say a little bit about where zone of genius fits into executive coaching, because I work with people who are senior leaders and people running companies. And zone of genius really fits in, and fits into mental health, because that's really the focus of this, is when you really, you know, when you're doing something that comes naturally to you, that you feel great doing, that can really make you happier. And you could have all of these things that will be holding you back if you're not paying attention to your zone of genius. And so I want to just, so that's kind of how it fits into the mental health picture. And we all want to be happier and give our best gifts to the world. So when we talk about zone of genius, I want to talk first about, well, first I'm going to show you that if you really want to find out more, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks.
Oh, brilliant. I might have purchased that book. I need to look in my collection. But yes, I have heard of it.
Yes, great. Because that's where this idea really comes from, and the way that I'll talk about it. Gay's a friend of mine, and I've studied with him quite a bit. So in Zone of Genius, well, first we have, you have four levels before you get to your Zone of Genius. And your Zone of Genius being that thing that you do, that when you do it, time disappears.
Yes, I get that. But explain a bit more about that.
Yeah, so it's like, it's kind of something that you do that you're in a state of flow, right? And it's something that you do better than most people, right? And then when you do it, you just, you know, you just lose sight of everything else that's around you. And it doesn't, you know, it could be like playing, it could be playing a musical instrument. That could be in your zone of genius. It could be writing. It could be sailing. Anything that where time disappears and that you do it better than most people.
Yeah.
Because what holds us back from that is doing all the things that we don't do as well as we could. So before you get to zone of genius, there are four other levels of competence, I'll say. First is incompetence. So when you think of incompetence, you know, what is it that you're doing that you keep doing, even though you're no good at it and you don't enjoy it? For me, that would be like Excel spreadsheets. Yuck. And those are things I've already passed off. So then competent, what's in your zone of competence? You know, what do you do that others can do as well? And, for me, that might be something like my zone of competence would be house cleaning. Another thing that I have outsourced so that I can spend more time in my zone of genius. And I also want to say that with these questions of the incompetence and incompetence, there's also an unconscious commitment that goes with doing those things. So let's say that you do something that you're incompetent at, right? That, you know, you're no good at it and you don't enjoy it. So your unconscious commitment is to suffering and frustration, right? That's even if you say, oh, I don't like doing this, if you keep doing it, that's what your unconscious commitment is showing. And then incompetence, that unconscious commitment to doing things that others can do better than you, is kind of a sleepwalking. You're going through the motions, you're maintaining your status quo. Right? And then in excellence, the question is, what do I persist in doing that I can do better than most others? So it's something that you do better than most other people, but you may not enjoy it. And this is actually where the trap is, because in the zone of excellence, people are, the unconscious commitment is doing well, but playing safe. Mm-hmm. But it's where people actually get stuck in their jobs, because they get accolades for what they're doing. They get paid well. And, you know, maybe you can even think of people, you know, it's a, we want someone that's called the golden handcuffs. Yeah. You don't want to leave something and you're unhappy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something, you know, that's the zone of excellence is where most people get stuck.
So how do you get unstuck?
Well, so getting unstuck means first figuring out what you're doing, then you take your the things that you're incompetent at and get rid of them. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's in your job or in your home, you know, I'm self-employed and there are things that I did to get out of my, to get rid of the incompetent, the things that I'm incompetent at. Like I don't do Excel spreadsheets anymore. I have one of my kids do them actually. And I hired a bookkeeper in my business because that's not my thing. And so that frees up time for me to spend time on the things that I do best at, which is coaching and facilitating and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of, when if you go through your day and you actually see the things, do kind of an audit of your energy and say, oh, what is it that's lighting me up right now? And see, you know, be really specific about what it is and how you might do more of that.
Okay. So for most crews that join the industry, a lot of the reasons, and this was the reason why I joined the industry, I didn't see myself staying in the industry for a very long time. However, I did want to travel the world and I wanted to come back to my country with money rather than no money. And that was the perfect means to an end for me. And you have different roles on board. Not all of them are glamorous and exciting. Not everyone wants to be the laundry girl ironing for the rest of their life. But how do you make the most of a particular position that could be very mundane and find your zone of genius?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question because, you know, this is real life we're talking about. And we do have to, we often do things that we think, oh, we don't want to do this or we don't want to do this forever. But to always be, so if you say, use the example of the laundry girl. So what is there any part of that job that you actually enjoy? You know, is there any part of it? Is there any part of the planning? Is there something about, I don't know, holding clean laundry? What part is it that you enjoy? And so really make yourself just be more conscious about what you're doing and how you're doing it. And is there a way that you do it that's better than other people do it?
Yeah.
So that's one way to think about it.
Yeah.
And to know that if this is, that everything you're doing is a learning experience and and not just keep it in your head, but actually to write down, what is it I like about this? And what would I not want to do?
Yes. And I think with learning comes curiosity. I think you do need to be curious if you want to learn and want to grow. And when I was working on board, it wasn't my passion to do perfect corners on the ends of the bed. And eventually I grew, I think a lot of us experience this, but you grow an obsession with, and you probably become OCD, but getting things perfect and pretty and shiny. And then when you go land-based, you get so much satisfaction with regards to having your clothes organized in colors and having everything so neat and tidy in a particular way. And it's almost like a cleansing process when you can engage in those tasks. But for me, how I made the best of my time on board was I was engaging with my natural talents, and which I assume you call your genius zone. So what I found was that I was in the middle of the crew politics happening on board. So I was piggy in the middle where the captain would offload and the crew would offload. And then I would help support and work through the frustrations and feelings that crew were experiencing. And that gave me so much joy and purpose. And it made me love my job and appreciate my job. And it was where I got my worth. My worth wasn't as concrete as polishing a spoon. but my worth came through offering my skill set to others and serving.
Yeah, I can actually just see that in how you just talked about it. It felt just like a real aliveness to you. You can really see that. And so, yeah, I appreciate that. I wanted to say something about your worth, because I think that genius is actually an internal experience, right? That it actually doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about it. And that's one of the scary things about being in your genius. So I would say that you would even could look at whether what you just talked about was in your excellence, because you get outside validation for it. See what I mean?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So, but the way you described it, it really does feel like it's in your genius. Mm. But that's the trap is that if you're looking for the outside validation, then that can be a sign that it's in your genius, in your excellence.
Okay. So can you just clarify for me again the difference between your zone of genius and then the zone of excellence?
Yeah. So in excellence, you do something that you can do better than most people, but when you do it, you're maybe not happy. It doesn't fill you.
Uh-huh.
But you stay in it because you get accolades or you get paid well, but it's not fulfilling.
Okay.
So I would say that when you're talking about your genius and what you discovered in your work on board, in working with people, that is a zone of genius for you. And actually the sweet spot is to get paid for your zone of genius, because there are things that you can do that are in your zone of genius and to get paid for them.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm passionate about and offer in my course, is unpacking that and looking at essentially what you describe as finding your zone of genius, because I believe that we all come with a set of unique talents and we're able to use those talents to not only have fulfilling jobs, but also to be financially remunerated for it.
Yes.
I honestly believe that every single one of us has that potential, and we don't have to be trapped in a job that doesn't give us that joy anymore. So I think, yeah, you can become very complacent and stagnant when you're in your zone of excellence, as the way you've described it, it makes sense to me. And it's about recognizing or connecting with your gut feel as well and going, I'm actually not happy. I feel like it's Groundhog Day every single day. And it's like, well, I feel like there's something more, but I don't know what it is. And that first step to change is recognizing that and having the self-awareness.
Yeah. And I'll say that, you know, why don't we spend more time in our genius? So, you know, that's the big question, because, you know, and that's why excellence can be the trap, because we do it well and people pay attention to us and often pay us for it. But what keeps us from our zone, working in our zone of genius or being in our zone of genius, is one, we get lots of goodies for being in the zone of excellence. And, you know, we can look at our unconscious commitments. You know, why am I staying here? And there are hidden barriers. So the hidden barriers to success, which Gay talks about in The Big Leap. So are one, the feeling of maybe I'm fundamentally flawed, that there's just something wrong with me at base. So that's one of them. The second one is, if I move into my zone of genius, I will be disloyal to someone, or I will be abandoning someone.
Yes, yes.
Like in my family, I'll be doing something so different. I'll be pursuing this and I will be disloyal or abandoning.
Mm.
Yeah. And then the others are that the success of working in the zone of genius would just be more of a burden than it would be worth. And the fourth one is the crime of outshining, that if I work in my zone of genius if I'm in my zone of genius doing what I really want to do, that would be somehow I would be outshining someone, either a spouse or family members, siblings.
That's connected to guilt, feelings of guilt.
Yeah.
That's why therapy is so important, because therapy to unleash or cleanse yourself from those limiting beliefs. How unfortunate would it be if you did tap into one of those descriptions that, yeah, and you stayed stuck because of those thought obstacles?
Yeah. Yeah, and most of us resonate with one of those.
Yeah.
You know, I know that mine is there's something fundamentally wrong. That's something that I've done tons of work on. Mm. And I don't know which one resonated with you, but probably one of them.
Yeah.
And you just to pick that one and go, oh yeah. But, and for many people actually just hearing that and seeing, oh, what is it? Do I feel like I would outshine a sibling? Will I abandon someone? You know, what is it? And then just to actually have that awareness is really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm curious to know for yourself, being in Silicon Valley, what do you notice with regards to employees who are in that zone of excellence?
Mm.
Or do you think from what you've observed, is there a percentage that you've noticed that are mostly in their zone of excellence compared to zone of genius? Or do you think everyone, because we hear of Silicon Valley, that's where Facebook is, Google, and all these innovative companies. So I would assume they would all be in their zone of genius. But what do you see?
You know, I don't think we can know. Yes, you would think that there's a lot of innovation here and that people are working in their zone of genius, but there are also just a lot of very smart people. And they, you know, if they're programmers or coders or that kind of thing, that they are, they can still be in that trap of excellence. It's just that excellence looks different here. So that's something for the individual to know, because we can't, unless we're, you know, there are a lot of unhappy people. There are a lot of people who feel trapped in their jobs, in their careers. Even with all the opportunity that there is here. So that's really an internal thing of, like, you know, when people hit a wall, and they often do that, like, in, you know, after they've worked for a while and they've tried out things and then gotten, you know, had an idea of, like, oh, I want to do this. And that may be when they leave their company and go and start out on their own.
Okay, so now in terms of giving some, maybe three steps or your words of advice, if you're feeling unfulfilled at work, what are three simple steps that you could engage in to start opening yourself up to discovering what your zone of genius is?
That's a great question. Okay, so the first thing is to start listening to yourself and looking at your energy levels,
mm-hmm.
right? When you do something, mm-hmm. Does this fill me? Do I feel really happy? Am I in flow? Right. And then as you identify those things, and they could be small tasks, they don't have to be big. You know, this doesn't have to be a job. You can start noticing it in small ways. Like even like I'm a great problem solver and, you know, I love to cook, and a genius of mine is to look at a box of vegetables and just know what I'm going to make. I don't need a recipe. I don't need anything. I just know. That's not anything I've translated into money, but it's fun and I enjoy it. So then look at the things that are getting in the way of your genius. You know, what beliefs do you have that are holding you back, and write them down? You know, do you think that you would outshine someone in your family? Did your family want you to be one thing and now you're doing something else? And what are you doing that supports your genius? What do you have to believe and not believe to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And look at the things that you could do more of. Like when you identify something in your genius, then you can say, okay, what is it that I want to do more of? And so that you can say, instead of like, I now spend maybe 20% of my time in genius, by the end of 2021, I'm going to spend 50% of my time in genius. I'm going to get rid, I'm going to find out everything that's in my incompetent and my competent and get rid of those.
Yes.
I'm not going to do those anymore.
Yeah.
Or if I have to do one of them because of my job, I'm going to be conscious that that is something, I'm just in my zone of competence.
Yeah. Fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
With the clients that you've worked with, what has been a standout win for you that you have walked away going, wow, I'd love my job, and it's so amazing to see this particular person have a breakthrough? Where was the person at before working with you to... after working with you, what did they, if you can share an example? I know I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, I can actually, I will use the example of my husband actually.
Okay.
Because we've kind of gone through a lot of this together. My husband was a television producer with NBC, and he was definitely in his zone of excellence, sometimes in his zone of genius, and it was unfulfilling. After a while. I mean, we're talking after 20 years, ready for to do something different. And now he also is an executive coach. And so that is actually, you know, that shift, because all of the tools, when you look at someone shift from basically managing big breaking news to being with people individually to help them get into their zone of genius by actually having been through that arc yourself. And I would say I've gone through the same thing. So that's been it's also really scary, actually. I'll tell you that, because when you make those big shifts, you let go of the known and you go into the unknown. And there's a lot of wobbly out in the unknown. It can be really scary. You know, things, you know, relationships change, and, you know, it can be.
And your identity shifts as well. And that's the biggest thing we find in yachting is making you become institutionalized and making that move from being on a yacht to being land-based. And then you've just known to be a captain or a chief stew, and you've played this role for many years, and it's like, well, who am I now? Because especially in the service industry, because you're predominantly always thinking about others, and your needs come last, especially, yeah, working with multi-millionaires. Like, you need to make things happen. And if your father's dying of cancer back at home, that's, you know, that will have to wait. You've got a chance, or you've got guests to serve. And once that job's completed, then maybe there's an opportunity to go home.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would say again, to look for all the things that you do in your day-to-day life and be really conscious about what lights you up and the things that you don't want to do anymore. And even if you continue doing them, like in the service industry, you know, you can't just wake up one day and say, well, you know, I'm not even going to dress up for this. I'm not going to even put my uniform on. So just keep looking for those things and they don't have to be big. They can be small things, because some of those small things, then you can translate to bigger things when you change.
Yeah. And I think on top of being curious, I think it's about being playful too.
Yes.
Not putting yourself in a box and thinking that it all needs to be linear. It's okay for it to be non-linear and for you to embark on this beautiful journey while you discover and you grow and you learn and then find your sweet spot.
Yes.
It's not definite. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're all, you know, we're all living a long time. We're going to be having multiple careers.
Yes.
Multiple stages of life. You know, even when you think, you know, as a, you know, in your industry, many young people, you know, it's all, take all those things and build on them.
And I think another thing that it's important to note is that we don't need to subscribe to our family scripts of the meaning of work and what that looks like. Because if you look at perhaps our grandparents, they went into one job and retired doing the same job their whole entire life. Whereas now it's very, very different. It's like, well, I might do a bit of this and then a bit of that, and maybe I'll start my own business, and then maybe I'll go into another venture. Like, it's very dynamic. And don't feel like you have to subscribe to other people's belief systems around the meaning of work. Because this is your journey. This is your life, and it's a short one. So make the most of it. Do what's important to you, what fulfills you, and embrace it. Go out there and find your zone of genius.
Yes, and find your zone of genius.
So Meg, how do people find you?
People can find me at my website, which is www.megdennison.com. Also on LinkedIn. That's the best way to find me. And I just want to let you know that I'm going to be having some classes on Genius in the first quarter of 2021.
Perfect. Yeah. So then will people find out about that if they subscribe to your newsletter?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I don't know if you know about the Enneagram and personality typing system. Yeah. I also do a lot of Enneagram work.
Oh, fantastic. That's brilliant. Okay. That's super helpful. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us.
Oh, you're welcome. I love talking about genius.
Fantastic. And I'm sure that this will resonate with so many people. So I think Meg and I would love to hear your comments, anything that you could identify with in this talk. Please let us know, because we would love to continue the discussions.
Yes. And also, I want to give you another plug for the Big Leap. You can see how many courses I've got in there.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Meg. And take care. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Great. Thank you.